This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, October 2nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Stocks often struggle in the months after Inauguration Day. We'll discuss why in our next segment. But right now, a report on private payrolls is out today ahead of Friday's comprehensive government jobs report for September. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And the private payroll report from ADP, the payroll processor, says job growth hit 143,000 in September. That was better than expected. So what does that mean for the government jobs report on Friday?
Yeah, so we're expecting 150,000 when the government releases the official report on Friday. That includes government jobs as well, and we've been seeing additions there. And I think that adds some upside potential. So the labor market has definitely slowed. We are seeing weaker job growth, but job gains are still pretty good. And the unemployment rate remains low on a historic basis.
And that's also coupled with some recent readings about just churn inside the labor market that suggested that quits were on their way down and that the number of job openings has basically reached one for one. There is one open job for every person who's unemployed. So how can you square this this ADP assessment that hiring picked up with the fact that maybe the job market is cooling down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's up from where it's been in recent months, but it's still down from where we were in 2022 and 2023. So what we see is that, you know, the labor market is definitely softening, but it's still in pretty good shape. And the other thing is that layoffs remain very, very low. So although we see businesses hiring less, although workers are quitting less because they're concerned about the ability to find a job if they do quit, layoffs are very, very low right now. And that means that the labor market is still in decent shape.
We're talking about today's economic activity with Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. We had the missile attack Iran on Israel yesterday, and also yesterday was the first day of the East Coast port strike, the longshoremen walking off the job. How does that factor into economic risk assessments? Is that something that's front and center, or is that something that economists are merely keeping an eye on?
I would say that we're keeping an eye on that at this point. Both of those, I think, have the potential to add to higher inflation. On the other hand, we don't get the next Fed meeting on interest rates until early November. So I would expect by this by that point, these issues will have been resolved and any impact on inflation will be temporary. But if they do lead to higher inflation and it looks like that impact is going to persist, then maybe the Fed doesn't cut in early November like we're expecting them to do now.
And with Election Day a little over a month away, how do economists or how do businesses, you know, making their plans for 2025, how do they assess policy and how do they assess outcomes? And this seems like a rather unique situation, Gus, because both candidates are largely known quantities. You know what Donald Trump's economic program was like because he was president for 4 years. And the Harris economic agenda in large strokes is simply a continuation of what we've had for the last 4 years under Joe Biden.
Well, I think the big factor is who's going to control Congress, because what the likely outcome, no matter who wins the election, is divided government with Democrats in control of one house of Congress and Republicans in control of the other. And that makes it difficult for policies to go through. So I'm not expecting major policy changes no matter who wins the election. And then I think we'll wait and see how things look in January after the inauguration and whether there's any likelihood of the president getting his or her agenda through Congress.
And we'll pick up that conversation with our next guest, talking about the inauguration effect on the stock market. Thank you for joining us today. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There appears to be some sort of relationship between the inauguration of a new American president and the performance of the stock market. We're joined by Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And I love segments like this. And Mark, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy hosting the Noon Business Hour and following the markets on a daily basis. Because outside of this bubble, Mark, outside of the business bubble, you may see people very contentious, very upset, very, very on edge about the upcoming presidential election. They may believe that the result could be the end of America as we know it or the dawning of a new era. But the great thing about numbers, Mark, is that they don't lie and they don't yell at each other and they tell a very consistent story.
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if the whole world were that way? The effect that I mentioned in a recent column is that after Inauguration Day, the stock market tends to struggle for a few months. And it seems very clear that it's a function of how short the honeymoon is for the new president, regardless of the party from which that president comes. It turns out there's a very distinct pattern of presidential approval ratings from the Gallup poll, which they do periodically throughout a president's term. And his highest, or and now in this case, we have to mention the possibility of her highest approval rating often is right after Inauguration Day, and then it comes down. And it turns out that reality sets in regardless of who wins the election. And it's in the dashing of those hopes and expectations that people will have that the stock market tends to struggle. It's like we wake up with a dose of reality.
And in what scenario? I mean, obviously the markets react to any scenario in terms of you have unified government or maybe divided government. But what scenario do the markets like the best? Do they like a government that either gets it really involved in the economy, either in terms of stimulus, monetary stimulus, or tax cut stimulus, or do they like a divided government where where Washington just basically stays out of the way? Thanks to polarization.
Well, it turns out that the data suggests the latter of those two possibilities, but I don't think that's really the relationship that we should focus on. What Wall Street and the business community in general doesn't like is surprises. So even if the government were to get involved in the economy, but they could figure out in advance how they were going to get involved in the economy, then the business community knows how to do well in that set of rules and regulations that would be put in front of them as to how that they should conduct their business. So the reason that it looks like that business likes a divided government is that it's fairly predictable what will happen, which is nothing. But it doesn't really have to do with doing nothing. It's just predictability in general is what the business community likes. And so when you have uncertainty, which of course we have plenty of it right now, the Wall Street doesn't like it. And the reason I don't think it's showing up yet in stock prices is that there's sort of willful denial in advance of Election Day. People start believing the promises that are being made, even though if you ask them in more of a sober light whether they think any of those promises can actually be delivered upon, almost everyone will admit, well, yes, the candidates overpromise and inevitably will underdeliver. And what my point is, why would we wait until inauguration day to discover what we already know?
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next on Personal Finance Wednesday, making sure you don't have a distorted perception of your financial situation.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and the term money dysmorphia describes a distorted perception of someone's financial situation. Let's get real with the help of Tony Ogorek, founder of Ogorek Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York. Tony, thank you for joining us today. And this is kind of an offshoot of the term body dysmorphia, where basically you spend every waking moment on Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, social media, and look at pictures of other people and say, I don't look as good as they do. And this is probably a situation where you're looking at all of those social media sites and saying, I'm not as wealthy as person X, Y, and Z, and how do you silence that voice in your head?
Yeah, you know, it's a real problem today brought on by social media, pardon me, because a lot of people do look at, you know, travel pictures, eating out pictures, things of that nature, standing next to vehicles, having kids dressed to the nines, and they say, geez, I can't do that. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Otherwise, you know, you've got people who are saying, I think my neighbor's got X, Y, Z. I don't. Maybe we should have that. And you begin to feel bad for yourself. You begin to put yourself down and you doubt yourself. And our approach is to say, look, forget about everyone else. You know, do you have balance in your life between what you need to save and what you can enjoy today? And as long as you can keep your eye on the ball and stick to your knitting specifically rather than trying to aspire to be like someone else who probably is a fake, you're probably going to feel a lot better about yourself.
And this is a common common psychological issue that everybody deals with. I know the research involves millennials and members of Generation Z, but this phenomenon has had different names throughout the decades. I mean, we used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. And
right.
As you point out correctly, you're being fooled by someone's image they're trying to put out there. That's not their reality more often than not.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing a quote from a famous actress who doesn't look as great as she did. I think it was Jamie Lee Curtis today. And she says, you know what? I feel so good. I don't have to suck in my gun anymore. I used to be walking around for decades having to do that because everybody was looking at me. And when you look at your financial situation, you know, everybody has challenges. You know, everybody has things that come up in their life, whether it be, you know, medical costs, whether it may be things for your kids, something else with your home. We all have different things that we're dealing with. Some people are blessed because they've got family wealth and they can help them, and you don't have that. So you really just have to focus on your own particular situation. How are you doing? Are you saving 10 or 15% of your income? Are you spending some of the money to enjoy yourself? As long as you strike that balance, you know, you can look differently at these influencers because you can say, well, that's nice, but I'm also great with where my life is also.
Tony Ogorek, founder of Ogorek Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, we'll talk about the importance of having a financial emergency plan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. An early morning crash on the Tri-State Tollway leaves one person dead. The federal government adds to its support of communities devastated by Hurricane Helene. Personal Finance Wednesday, the time is now to create a plan to handle money emergencies. Also on the money front, making sure you're getting the most out of credit card points. WBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 15 points, NASDAQ up 9, the S&P 500 down 3. 65 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. One person is dead after a collision involving a semi-truck on the Tri-State Tollway in Hinsdale early today. The details from WBBM's Nancy Hardy.
Illinois State Police are investigating the crash that happened at around 4:20 a.m. The department says a person standing outside a disabled car in one of the southbound lanes of I-294 was hit by a semi-tractor trailer and died at the scene. It happened near some concrete barriers by the exit for the Hinsdale Oasis. Troopers have not released any information about the person killed. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
President Biden is expected to survey damage from Hurricane Helene in the Carolinas today as the federal government ramps up its response to the disaster.
The president is immediately deploying 1,000 active duty troops to assist with the response and recovery efforts. They'll help deliver food, water, and other critical supplies to communities impacted by the hurricane. The additional manpower will assist FEMA and other federal agencies reach the hardest hit areas as fast as possible. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hanlon, National Investment Strategist with the U.S. Bank Wealth Management Group in Minneapolis. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like what passed for a rally this morning ran out of gas around the noon business hour. What's going on with the markets today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Rob. Pretty quiet today, at least in terms of the headline. As you mentioned, the S&P down about 6 or 7 points today, and 10-year Treasury yields back to where they were on Thursday. We got a little bit of some movement around some of the events in the Mideast with the strike in Israel from Iran, and seemingly, at least at this point, not a lot of retaliation or escalation there. So now we're kind of settled back into the basic things about markets: what's going on with interest rates, what's going on with inflation, and the big one coming up will be what's going on with earnings as we get into third quarter reporting season here in the next couple of weeks. So kind of, I think, investors just quietly awaiting what those results are going to be.
And it looks like investors are on edge slightly. The VIX up a little bit just on just once again geopolitical tension, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some of the circumstances in the Middle East, I mean, it's just, it's tragic from a human condition and from a risk perspective, maybe a little bump up in oil prices, a little bit of risk premium built in there, but not too much. I mean, $65, $70 has been the lower end of the range of oil prices. So not a lot of risk premium built in right now, but you're seeing some of the weakness in small caps relative to large. So, I mean, that's not unusual, but a little bit of risk off sentiment.
And then looking ahead to, we had the jobs report coming out on Friday morning, the ADP, the private payrolls report came out today, and that came in better than expected. Now, I've done this long enough, Tom, to know that the ADP report and the government jobs report often go in wildly different directions. So either we'll have a blowout report on Friday morning or one that comes in well below expectations. But is that starting to ease some of the anxiety that existed around the job market earlier this summer?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear that the Fed had pivoted to what was most front and center for them. They were focused very much on inflation because it was way above their target level. You had a really strong labor market, and now it's really addressing, okay, we've had higher rates for some time. Is that leading into some decay in the labor market? ADP came in about 140,000 jobs added. The consensus for the government report on Friday is about 125,000. That's pretty consistent with a slowing but not contracting labor market. That would help bring wage inflation and other cost inflation back down and let the Fed kind of continue on its path for cutting rates perhaps in the November and December meetings here coming up.
Now, if there is a weaker than expected government jobs report talking about that that next Fed rate cut coming up at their meeting in November, would that lend credence to the theory or make it more likely that they would cut by a half point again as opposed to a quarter point?
Yeah, right now the markets are pricing in three cuts between now and the end of the year. So that's two at one meeting and one at the other. If you've got a really weak reading on Friday, perhaps that pulls that more into a November, you know, jumbo or supersized cut rather than December. But we think there's still a lot of volatility in that rate path going forward. We think it's still challenging to try to project out the sequence of cuts and how much that magnitude is for each meeting.
And then as Election Day draws closer, how or when does election uncertainty, when does that start to show up to in the markets, or will it even show up in the markets? That really the markets aren't going to react to any election-related news until after Election Day.
You know, Rob, relative to the election or relative to the Fed or what might happen in the economy in 2025, I think it's a great time for investors like the Vikings to play good offense and good defense here. We think there's still opportunities in the stock market. You know, those AI beneficiaries, we think they've got still strong tailwinds. We've got the demographics around an aging population that's great for healthcare, particularly in healthcare real estate. But we think there's opportunities here for some of that potential volatility on the election or the jobs report or the Fed rate path to own things like some of those boring defensive sectors like staples and utilities. You know, they pay good dividends. Those dividends matter more when rates are coming down. There's less competition from treasuries. And there's actually kind of some stealth or sneaky growth opportunities within things like utilities, like data centers and the AI build-out.
And also, one other thing very quickly, Tom, this is an observation over the past 4 years. I mean, so much has happened. There have been so many events, both political, geopolitical, foreign policy, economic. And despite all of those outside events that may impact the markets have been surprisingly resilient. They just continue to power through no matter what you throw at them.
Yeah, it seems like every day we can add another rung to that wall of worries, Rob. And whether it was, you know, the fiscal cliff or government shutdown or some of the other potential events that may or may not have occurred in 2024, you know, we look like we're ending the year with strong returns in stocks, strong returns in bonds, strong areas of you know, real estate market other than office. And, you know, again, we focus on just, you know, what's going on with the economy, what's going on with interest rates and inflation, and really just letting investors and clients know the most important thing is to develop that financial plan, get going on it. Don't let these individual rungs on the wall of worry prevent you from getting towards that path and getting where you need to be in terms of your investment allocation.
Tom Hanlon, National Investment Strategist with the U.S. Bank Wealth Management Group in Minneapolis. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, the hurricane in the southeast is a stark reminder of the need for an emergency fund.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and as residents of southeastern states deal with the utter destruction caused by Hurricane Helene, many find themselves in a dire financial situation. Let's discuss ways to be prepared with Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And certain disasters that happen in other parts of the country, hurricanes like Helene in the southeast or earthquakes on the west coast may not be very relevant to people who live in the Chicago area, but we have floods and we have tornadoes, Ed, and your life can be upended in the blink of an eye. So what can you do to prepare yourself financially if one day you find your house devastated as the result of a tornado?
Hey, Rob, great to be with you. And this is such a timely topic because one of the key components of any personal financial plan is not only the emergency fund, but an overall emergency plan. And just what you had outlined, we take for granted that, you know, our homes will be here, our documents are within reach and things like that. But when the unexpected happens, but even when the expected happens in terms of a family emergency or if something happens where someone is ill, making sure you plan a little bit ahead and give a little bit of guidance to others can be really critical and not only helping you financially, but keep that family stability going forward.
And when we talk about creating an emergency fund, when trying to build that fund, what are some expenses that you should keep in mind?
Well, some of the biggest expenses to keep in mind are things like rent or mortgage payments or those kind of things that, you know, if something happens, right, again, a natural disaster happens and you're out of work, right, there's always unemployment insurance per se, but if you're a gig worker and you are only able to get income if you work, you know, you got to really plan ahead. So those core expenses, and those core expenses are food, our lodging, and things like that, to make sure you have at least 3 to 6 months of monies saved in a money market. These are not assets to invest in the stock market at all, Rob. These are monies to keep in a high-yield savings account or money market account.
And then one thing when planning for an emergency or anticipating an emergency is you have insurance, you may have homeowner's insurance, but it sounds like you should probably go and talk to your insurance agent about what that policy covers and how long it would take to get remunerated in the event of an emergency, because I could tell you about there are some people who were victims of a tornado in the western suburbs 3 years ago, and they have yet to return to their homes because there was an insurance company tie-up.
It's an excellent point, Rob. When we want to review these policies is before these things happen and not afterwards, because there's nothing you can do afterwards. So having that check-in with your property and casualty professional to kind of have a review of your household assets, to review housing and how much it is, and if there's a loss, what does it cover, is really important. But one more thing I want to add into this, Rob, is, again, if you look at some of the flooding that we have on the East Coast, are the documents that typically people have in their homes, their estate plans, deeds and wills and all those other things. It's critically important for people to think ahead of these things, and having something as simple as a fire and waterproof safe at home that could be for under $150 is a good way to protect those documents, especially wills, because those you need original paperwork for. But again, whether we're talking about property, casualty, estate planning documents, and or an emergency fund, looking ahead and planning for these things is really important, just in case the inevitable, or I shouldn't say the inevitable, but the unlikely happens, but then you're very much well prepared.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. I mean, is just when it comes to keeping those documents safe, is having a safe in your home that's fireproof and waterproof, is that the better bet compared to a safe deposit box, which could also be inaccessible in a disaster?
Exactly, Rob. And that's what we found. We didn't have any direct experience with this, but we did hear stories of folks who had passed away during COVID, and their documents are in the safety deposit box at a bank that you could no longer access. So, again, kind of keeping copies of documents is good, but those original documents to keep them as safe as possible is always good. So whether it's a safety deposit box at a bank, if you're comfortable with that, or a fireproof, waterproof sort of safe in your home, whatever one you're most preferable to, make sure you've got those in. And, Rob, make sure someone else besides you knows how to access those documents.
Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, credit card companies are making changes to their points system.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Major credit card issuers, including Chase, Capital One, and Amex, are quietly making changes to their rewards programs. Let's get an update from Ted Ross, senior industry analyst with Bankrate.com, based in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. And how are some of these credit card rewards programs changing?
One of the biggest changes we've seen in recent years has been airlines and hotels tying redemption value to the actual cost of travel. So, you know, in other words, maybe it used to be 25,000 miles to fly from Chicago to San Francisco, and it didn't matter if the ticket cost $200 or $600. Well, now it matters how much the ticket costs, and they're going to charge measurably more for more expensive tickets. So, you know, that's one of the biggest devaluations, if you will, in recent years. Basically, more miles or more points required for the same trip.
And what led to this change in policy?
It's really all about money, to be honest. You know, card companies and airlines and hotels looking to maximize value and really prioritizing paying customers. One thing that really happened during the pandemic was a lot of people racked up a lot of points and miles. And these are multi-billion dollar partnerships for all parties. But the thing is, they're looking to liquidate the value in a way that's more favorable to them. So there's a lot of points and miles sloshing around the system. One big way to think about this is that it is more of a system that rewards frequent spenders even more than actual miles on the airplane or nights in the hotel. There's still some value on some of that, but a lot of it is how much you spend, not necessarily how far you fly.
It's an interesting point you bring up, Ted, because during the COVID shutdowns, when we were not traveling or doing much of anything, I used to joke that I had built up enough miles on my airline credit card during COVID-19 to fly to Neptune and back. And apparently the airlines must have heard that, and they changed their policy to address it.
They have, yeah. And there's also inflation eating into some of the value. The best advice for consumers is don't hoard your rewards points and miles. You know, maybe it makes sense to save them to a certain level, like if you want those 100,000 points to fly business class to Europe or Asia or something like that. But don't hoard for hoarding's sake. You know, it's not like your 401k. You don't want to be a points millionaire. It's actually better to earn and burn these points strategically. You want to actually use them periodically.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream. Skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.